Tonight, the budget and the bottom line. The new pitch as Canadians walk an economic tightrope. Targeted investments, including health and dental care.
We are building big things here.
And a major focus on green technology.
Well, we have a huge opportunity in Canada to really grow.
Keeping Canada's supply of the drug Ozempic in Canada.
To make sure the medication is given to those who need it most.
One province has moved to protect against soaring demand.
She goes, if you ever want to drop 5 pounds, this is good.
And from metal scraps to massive sculptures.
What do you want people to know about you and your art?
A Canadian street artist shrouded in mystery and the creations causing a stir.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina.
Good evening, everyone. At a time when the rising cost of living is a major stressor for many Canadians, the federal government today unveiled its economic blueprint. The Prime Minister and Finance Minister both wore green, carrying a budget where clean technology was one of the big-ticket items, along with more money for health care. The new spending adds nearly $70 billion by 2028, despite declarations of fiscal restraint in the lead-up. We'll have more on those green tech measures in just a moment, but our coverage begins with the big picture from CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier. Yeah.
With a possible recession on the horizon and millions of Canadians struggling with the high cost of living, the federal government signaled in its budget it will not rein in the spending, at least not yet.
Canada's economy has made a remarkable recovery from the COVID recession.
The government intends to spend nearly $70 billion over the next 6 years. But it also plans to implement spending cuts across every department and tax increases totaling $25 billion. To some economists, this is not the fiscal restraint the Liberal government had promised in this budget.
Fiscal restraint, I guess, means different things to different people. We're still very much in the red in this budget.
The deficit stands at slightly over $40 billion, more than the $30.6 billion projected in the fall economic update only 4 months ago, and no plan to balance the books anytime soon. The government laid out three main objectives in the budget: targeted cost of living measures for lower-income Canadians, health care, and the shift to clean tech.
We're going to be supporting the expansion of dental care. We're going to be supporting giving people some money back in their pockets, helping them save money.
Ottawa is increasing the GST rebate and rebranding it the grocery rebate that will provide a one-time maximum payment of about $460 for an eligible family. Another measure that will help up to 9 million people, $13 billion over 5 years for a dental care plan that will provide coverage to uninsured Canadians with family income below $90,000. Conservatives will not vote for this budget, saying the Liberal NDP agreement just means more government spending.
And they've poured fuel on the inflationary fire. Low-income, working-class people will suffer the most.
And the government is prioritizing the shift to clean tech, offering $80 billion in investments over the next 10 years, a way to counter the massive green infrastructure investments offered by the Biden administration.
They have put a ton of money on the table, and it was really important for us, having been ahead in this race, not to fall behind.
But for some small business owners, this budget brings very little relief after 3 years of COVID.
I have to stay afloat right now. I'm not looking at the three-year plan. I'm not looking at a five-year plan. I have to survive the inflation right now.
In a sluggish economy, the prospect of a mild recession is still very real. And the green tech investments the government put on the table may not create the expected growth for years. Omar.
All right, Joyce Napier, on a busy day in Ottawa today. There are lots of numbers in the 270-page budget. Here are a few of the other pledges. Nearly $1 billion over the next year for temporary lodgings and health care for asylum seekers. $158 million to create and operate a new 988 suicide prevention phone line. A pullback on the alcohol excise tax, now capped at 2% instead of 6.3%. and funding to explore having common chargers for electronic devices, following the lead of the European Union. One number that is still not known is how much Ottawa spent to get Volkswagen to build a battery manufacturing plant in southwestern Ontario. But what is undeniable is that the soaring demand for electric vehicles is an opportunity for Canada. CTV's Joe Macashon looks at what's driving the clean technology measures in today's budget.
In Alberta's oil country, there's new interest in lithium, extracted through mineral-rich brine about 2,500 meters underground.
Well, we have a huge opportunity in Canada to really grow this material as a mineral that we can supply into the battery space.
Feeding a fast-moving electric vehicle economy, E3 Lithium, a Canadian company, could see commercial production in 3 years. Lithium, nickel, cobalt, copper are just some of the ingredients the world is now searching for, and they can all be found in Canada. And the federal budget aims to incentivize mining and manufacturing.
We don't necessarily have to ship our raw materials to the United States. It can come in the form of a battery.
A 15% clean electricity tax credit will, for the first time, be extended to Crown corporations and publicly owned utilities worth $6.3 billion. And there's a 30% tax credit for critical mineral processing and refining, expected to cost $4.5 billion.
Namely, you know, nickel mining, copper, cobalt, all of the things necessary for electric vehicles, for batteries, have been in decline, and I think this budget will help start to turn that around.
Canada has 56 critical mineral mines operating today, and there are another 176 resource projects that could provide more critical minerals in the future. There is the potential to provide the world with Canada's resources, but it will take time.
So that means new developments will require consultation. They will involve environmental impact assessment. They will involve consultation, certainly with Indigenous communities.
The finance minister said building a clean economy is the most significant economic transformation since the Industrial Revolution. And insiders say this budget is beginning to bridge the gap that would have left Canada behind. Omar.
All right, Jill, thank you. Quebec's police watchdog is investigating an attempted arrest that left a veteran provincial police officer dead and her partner injured. It happened last night in the community of Louisville, 100 kilometers northeast of Montreal. Here's CTV's Vanessa Lee.
This is yet another tragic reminder of the dangers police officers face. Sergeant Maureen Bro and another officer were arresting a man for uttering threats at around 8:30 last night when he grabbed a knife and stabbed her.
It's a shock for the all police officer in Quebec or in Canada.
Officers who later arrived at the scene shot and killed the 35-year-old suspect. According to reports, Isaac Bouillard-Lessard was known to authorities and had been declared not criminally responsible in several cases filed against him, including assault.
I want to offer all my condolences to family of Maureen Bro, also to all police people. They have a tough job.
Bro was in her early 40s, a mother of two children. A dedicated sergeant who had served with the Quebec Provincial Police Force for 22 years. Her husband is also an officer. Her death comes as two Edmonton police officers were laid to rest. 35-year-old Constable Travis Jordan and 30-year-old Constable Brett Ryan were killed while responding to a domestic dispute call earlier this month. Bro is the eighth officer murdered in the line of duty in Canada in the last 6 months.
It has been truly unprecedented in our country's history, and we have to continue to find ways to support law enforcement.
A second officer in Louisville was injured, but is expected to recover. Omar.
All right, Vanessa, thank you. A day after a mass shooting at an elementary school in Nashville, police have released dramatic body cam footage of the moment officers ran towards the sound of gunfire. CTV's Richard Madden with the harrowing images, which we warn you are graphic.
Let's go!
First responders are seen racing to stop a massacre.
Right, right, right!
Inside the small Christian elementary school. With alarms and gunfire blaring, officers rush past children's artwork and rows of small backpacks. Moments earlier, the shooter blasted through the side door and opened fire, killing three children, the principal, teacher, and custodian.
Metro Police, open the door!
Police checked each classroom as they followed the horrific sounds coming from the second floor.
Go.
That's where they confront former student, 28-year-old Audrey Hale, and ultimately kill her.
Suspect down!
Police say the suspect left behind a manifesto and detailed maps of the school, but the motive remains unclear.
The students that were targeted were randomly targeted.
Investigators reveal Hale was under doctor's care for an emotional disorder, but was still able to buy seven weapons that her parents urged her to sell.
As it turned out, she had been hiding several weapons within the house.
Minutes before the attack, a former schoolmate says Hale sent her an ominous message. One day, this will make more sense. I've left behind more than enough evidence, but something bad is about to happen.
That's when I started making calls. I called the suicide prevention hotline.
There you go.
As vigils grow to honor victims,
this really hurts.
And flags lowered across America, President Joe Biden urging Congress to renew his assault weapons ban.
You know, we need to act. These are weapons of war.
But change appears unlikely with Republicans controlling the House.
If you're going to talk about the AR-15, you're talking politics now. Let's not get into politics. All right, let's not get into emotion, because emotion feels good, but emotion doesn't solve problems.
But it's a major problem, unique to America, in this 130th mass shooting this year alone. Gun control advocates are pessimistic on new safety measures, so they're refocusing to improve gun storage laws. Omar.
Just horrifying images, Richard. Thanks. A devastating fire at a migrant detention center has killed at least 40 people and seriously injured dozens along Mexico's border with the U.S. Flames engulfed the facility Monday night at a major crossing point for asylum seekers waiting to enter the U.S. The Mexican president says a protest by people fearing deportation caused the tragedy. They allegedly blocked the building entrance with mattresses and set them on fire. A Maryland court has reinstated the murder conviction of a man whose case made international headlines after it was profiled in the podcast Serial. Adnan Syed, who spent 23 years in prison for the 1999 murder of his ex-girlfriend, was released from prison in October because of what prosecutors said was DNA evidence supporting his innocence. But now the appellate court has ordered a new hearing after the victim's family said they were not properly notified of the efforts to release Syed. British Columbia has become the first province to limit access to a popular drug to Americans. Ozempic is prescribed mainly to treat diabetes, but demand has surged because it's also helped many patients lose weight. And that's putting a strain on Canadian supply. CTV's Adrian Gobriel reports.
A life-altering diabetes drug at the center of a ballooning cross-border controversy.
There is a lot of hype about Ozempic.
Now being used as a weight loss tool by even Hollywood celebrities.
My anti-aging doctor just hands it out to anybody, right? And she goes, if you ever want to drop 5 pounds, this is good.
The crush of demand has Americans ordering shipments from Canadian pharmacies. British Columbia is now the first province in the country to announce they're restricting the sale of the drug to non-Canadians.
For the months of January and February, 15% or 15,798 of all the Ozempic dispenses in British Columbia were sold to U.S. residents.
Already there has been shortages at many of the pharmacies on the lower mainland.
What patients are after is the actual drug they're injecting, called semaglutide.
Semaglutide was developed for people with type 2 diabetes and obesity. Obesity means that somebody has a chronic polygenic disease. It's not 10 pounds to lose because they want to get into a wedding dress or go onto the beach. This is not a quick fix. This is for a disease.
That isn't stopping companies like Weight Watchers from setting up programs that connect patients with doctors who can prescribe the drug.
I injected myself with it, and I went to lunch with like a girlfriend a few days later, and she's like, I'm not really eating anything. I'm so nauseous. I'm on Ozempic.
This medication has been hijacked from the researchers like us who've been working with it for 20 years for disease. It's been hijacked by people who are trying to lose a small amount of weight.
In a statement, the company that produces Ozempic tells CTV News they support BC's efforts to protect the supply of this medicine for Canadians living with type 2 diabetes. They've also engaged Health Canada on this issue in the hopes of identifying a national solution. The federal government say they're doing everything they can to mitigate the situation. Adrian Gobriel, CTV News, Toronto.
Coming up after the break, the Duke of Sussex digs in. Prince Harry back in court in a fierce privacy battle. Plus, model behavior, breaking down barriers one runway at a time. Protests in France were reignited today in response to a controversial move to raise the retirement age to 64. Strikers shut down streets and train tracks, prompting an unprecedented deployment of 13,000 officers, almost half of them in Paris alone. Prince Harry returned to a London court for the second day of hearings against one of Britain's biggest newspaper publishers. His allegations not only offer fresh insight into his long-standing outrage and frustration with the press, but also with his own family. CTV's Danielle Hamamjan reports.
Prince Harry was back in court for a hearing he did not have to attend in person. But the Duke of Sussex wants the world to know just how important this case is to him. And for the love of his country, he says he wants to expose the alleged wrongdoing of tabloid journalists who he calls criminals.
I think what I learned today that surprised me was that Harry felt he had a case since 2018, and also that he felt that the royal family knew that he had a case, but they didn't want him to bring a case against any of these newspaper groups because it would open a can of worms.
In a witness statement, the Duke accused the royal family of not telling him he'd been a victim of phone hacking. He said the institution was, without a doubt, withholding information from him for a long time. He had an uneasy relationship with the press since the death of his mother, but the policy was to never complain, never explain. There was no alternative, he said. I was conditioned to accept it. Harry, along with Elton John and other high-profile figures, is suing the publisher of the Daily Mail and the Mail on Sunday. Among the accusations, the hiring of private investigators to secretly place listening devices inside cars and homes, and the impersonation of individuals to obtain medical information. The publisher categorically denies the allegations.
In his statement today, Prince Harry also said the British public deserved to know the full extent of the cover-up, and he feels it's his duty to expose it. The hearing continues tomorrow. Danielle Hamamjan, CTV News, London.
And from a prince to an 18-year-old Indigenous model from Saskatchewan who is on her way to becoming a queen on the catwalk. Heather Diamond Strongarm from Fishing Lake First Nation has recently been named one of Vogue's top 10 standout models. She's walked the runways of Milan, Paris, and New York, even becoming the first Indigenous woman to open a Dior fashion show.
I was like really happy and excited, but it like kind of disappointed me a little that it took like that long for an Indigenous person to open a show.
Strongarm plans to eventually pursue a career in social work. Still ahead.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
A famous voice for the cause in Ukraine. Ukraine's military received more heavy tanks from the West today. The Ukrainian Defense Ministry released this video from an undisclosed location inside the country, showing test drives of the Challenger 2 battle tanks supplied by the UK. Germany says it has also delivered 18 tanks to Ukraine. The war is getting a surreal intrusion from a classic Hollywood tale of good versus evil. Star Wars actor Mark Hamill has lent his voice to a Ukrainian mobile app that warns people to take cover during Russia's aerial bombardments.
Attention, air raid alert. Proceed to the nearest shelter.
The app is linked to Ukraine's air defense system and will now feature English language alerts with that familiar Jedi Knight gravitas.
I thought it was interesting because when I spoke with President Zelensky, he did refer to Russia as an evil empire. So I thought,
And here's the signal when the danger has passed.
Attention, the air alert is over. May the force be with you.
Well, the powerful force of friendship is on full display at a North Carolina animal shelter. Meet Felix the dog and Cinnamon the goat. The duo does everything together, from running around in the pen to cuddling in the kennel. The goat crying and whining whenever the dog is taken away. The shelter is looking for a forever home for Felix and Cinnamon, saying the best friends are a package deal. Good pals always stick together. After the break, provocative public art and a creator cloaked in mystery. Lately, Vancouver streets have been transformed into outdoor art galleries. Giant sculptures emerging from junk, including a spider entangled in a web of controversy. BC Bureau Chief Melanie Nagy spoke to the intriguing artist behind the creation.
Beneath an office tower, creatures spring from the sidewalk.
They look good.
You like it?
Yeah, I do.
The futuristic sculptures are mostly made from old car parts.
The sculptures, what do you think of them?
They're cool.
Trash twisted into art by a mysterious artist from Montreal called Junko. While their creations are prominent in public places, they prefer to remain anonymous, unwilling to reveal their face or voice, but still willing to discuss their art in an unconventional way.
What do you want people to know about you and your art?
I like to leave the artwork open to interpretation and let it speak for itself. Junko's sculptures fall under the umbrella of the street art movement, which is meant to be thought-provoking and accessible. Banksy is currently one of the genre's most famous artists. Before starting a project, Junko scours alleys and garbage lots, repurposing the things we throw out. A recent example.
Oh wow, it's actually huge.
Can be spotted hanging from a Vancouver overpass. Since the giant spider appeared earlier this month, it's been generating a whole lot of buzz.
Actually, we like the spidey.
We really like the spider. It looks awesome.
But not everyone likes the piece, which is called Phobia.
But still, a little intimidating though.
The city says some have complained, calling it freaky. It also says the unsanctioned art will be removed.
What do you make of the controversy and push to remove your giant spider? I think it's a shame.
Junko has launched an online campaign to save the spider, but if it has to go, it won't stop the artist from pursuing their passion. So keep your eyes peeled, because you never know where Junko's street art will next appear. Melanie Nagy, CTV News, Vancouver.
So much mystery. And that's a snapshot of this Tuesday for all of us at CTV National News. Thank you for watching and see you tomorrow.